2FM. Now, welcome back to Game On with me, Marie Crowe. We are turning our attention now to tennis. It is day three of the US Open and the stars are falling as the days go on. Let's start with Emma Raducanu. Stephen Higgins of Cross Court View is with me here. Stephen, I don't think there were high hopes for her going into the tournament, even though she was defending champion. And it was more so what she was saying rather than anything else. She herself didn't seem to be overly confident. And after losing in the first round, she said herself that she's actually looking forward to starting with a clean slate. She said she's disappointed, but in a way, the target will be off her back and she's going to just try and claw her way back up to the top.
Yeah, I guess she couldn't say anything else. It must be disheartening to look at the ranking list. With Emma Raducanu, you win 2,000 ranking points if you win a Grand Slam. She actually won another 40 points because she got through qualifying. 2,040 points drop from her ranking because of that loss, which means that she goes from number 11 in the world down to 80 in the world next or after the tournament. Yeah, I mean, it is a reset. I watched this last night and, you know, it's very interesting when the British commentators oscillate back and forth between loads of comments beforehand that she's got this, she can do this, to a few games in when Lise Korn, a notable giant killer who stopped Iga Swiatek's unbeaten record at Wimbledon, started playing like Elise Cornet, took advantage of an obviously nervous Emma Raducanu, and then, you know, the wheels kind of came off basically. And I felt sorry for her. We don't really even know what the level of Emma Raducanu is. We won't know that for a few years. Maybe it's a golden fortnight that she had. Maybe it's just a building block and she'll win future Grand Slams.
Sometimes footballers make their debut and they're absolutely brilliant and then they never play well again. Like, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, she'd also follow in the line of, say, Yelena Ostapenko, who, while she's had a good career since and done some things, she never really has reached the level that she did in the fortnight when she won Roland Garros. Bianca Andreescu, mainly through injuries, hasn't hit that level either. There have been, on the women's side, some young players who've broken through who haven't quite fulfilled maybe that potential or that ability afterwards. We'll have to see.
What would it be, though? What would it take? Like, what do you need to win to fulfill your potential?
Well, I suppose that's a debatable thing of what someone's potential is. I guess when she won the US Open last year, everything was brilliant. Mm. So all aspects of her game looked great, particularly her returns, her movement, her composure, her forehand, her backhand, etc. This time over the last year, you've seen more of the issues of her forehand isn't quite as good. She makes maybe some rash decisions. She got quite erratic against Cornet. Cornet was brilliant last night. Cornet's had a superb season. Her best year on tour, age 32, when she was contemplating retirement. And she just took full advantage of the lack of confidence and questioning of Raducanu's game, basically. So she just wanted to get her into long rallies.
She used her experience.
Yeah, she exposed the situation or took advantage of the situation. And the match went kind of as probably everyone expected.
So she's gone. Elena Rybakina, who won Wimbledon, is also gone as well in the first round.
Yeah, the Wimbledon champion, but not quite, as she might put it. She spoke recently before the tournament that because Wimbledon had the ban on Russian and Belarusian players, the ATP and WTA responded by removing the ranking points. So despite her breakthrough, she did not receive the 2,000 ranking points that she would have got. If she had got those ranking points, she would have moved up to about 6 in the world. She didn't get them. She's around 25 in the world, which has a big effect on, you know, your placement, obviously, of seedings and also marketability and sponsorship. Mm-hmm. So she criticized this beforehand. And she seems to, yeah, she hasn't kicked on, I suppose, would be the way to put it from the tournament so far.
And what about Naomi Osaka? What's our expectation of her now?
It's very hard to tell. You know, she's really struggled since she's kind of come back to playing in recent months after her break. It really seems to be up to her. We know her class. She won 4 Grand Slams. At her best, she's a superb player. How interested is she in putting in the effort to compete with the best female players? It's really up to her. There's no question of the ability of what she can do at her best. It's really just, does she want that as much or is she more interested in other things?
4 Grand Slams is a lot.
It is. I mean, she's so exciting. At her peak, she's such a fantastic player to watch at her peak. In some ways, it's sad. You know, it's her life. She makes her own decisions. But she was so fantastic to watch. Such a brilliant character on the tour. You'd love to see her kind of come back and give another go for a few years. And like, we'll see what she can do again.
So Simona Halep is also gone. So she crashed out in the first round to 20-year-old Ukrainian Daria Signor.
Yeah, I mean, Darius Nigar is, she won Wimbledon as a junior in 2019. Oh no, this is a massive shock. This is probably the biggest shock of the
There's a lot of shocks here now
yeah,
over the last
few
days.
Halep has been world number one, but actually she was playing really well coming in. She made the semifinals of Wimbledon. She won the tournament beforehand in Toronto. And to go out in the first round to the world number 124 is terrible really for her. You know, she'd be massively disappointed.
Yeah. So who's left then for us to look at and who's your favourite?
Well, in the men's or the women's?
In the women's. Let's start with, keep with the women's.
Yeah, in the women's, it's very open as it often is. Serena's still involved. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Serena's playing tonight against Annette Kontaveit. Kontaveit is the world number two, but she has struggled with actually COVID this year and she's only kind of coming back into fitness. It'll be interesting to see what level Serena can kind of hit. At this point, that'll be at midnight if people want to tune in, if they're not getting up too early in the morning. I don't know, for the women's, Iga Świątek is still involved. After her unbelievable start to the season, the wheels came a little bit off in the last few months where she's had a few losses. She had a great start, won 6-3, 6-love in her opening round. It'll be interesting to see if she can kind of rediscover the form of early season when she was literally unbeatable. So she will be the one to kind of watch, but as is often the case with the women's draw, because it's best of three sets, I can give you a list of five names. They'll all get knocked out in the next 2 days and then I'll look like an idiot. So Świątek is the player to beat still because she's the world number one and she's kind of found a bit of form again, but anything can happen. Oh, there's one or two I might just mention quickly. Beatriz Haddad-Maia, mm-hmm. a Brazilian who's playing really well lately and on a great run. And Caroline Garcia, one of my favorite players for years, is in the best form of her life and has won a couple of tournaments recently. They're just ones kind of beyond the usual names.
And then in the men's, Nadal did have a scare, but he's came through that.
Yeah, in the men's, it's a pretty kind of straightforward thing. The top two seeds are Daniil Medvedev, the defending champion, and Rafael Nadal. They are set to meet in the final if it follows the seeding. Actually, if they played in the final, the winner will become world number one. So that'll be on the line. Daniil Medvedev has a really good run through to the final. The big thing to watch would be there's a potential fourth-round clash with Nick Kyrgios, which would be obviously entertaining mm-hmm. in all kinds of reasons. Nadal actually was a bit ropey at the start the other night. He dropped the first set, but then kind of remembered that he was Rafael Nadal and then won three sets at a canter.
He does that a lot.
Yeah, unlike Stefanos Tsitsipas, who I have to say that is so disappointing for a player of his class, number five in the world, went out in the first round to the 94th player in the world. He said he played like an amateur, which I suppose I understand that sentiment. but still, just for his caliber, a shocking loss. It's something that when you compare someone like Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, the difference of, they just will not allow themselves to lose in the first round to someone who's 94 in the world, whichever way you spin it.
Okay. Good few days to come. So, Stephen, no doubt we'll be talking to you about it.